Video committee will come to order as a subcommittee since we don't yet have a quorum. But having three members, we will begin. We're going to do two things today. We're going to look at the overview and budget presentation from the Department of Employee Relations. And then, this is probably unique, I don't remember that we've ever done this before. Then the next thing we get to hear is the bill that abolishes the Department of Employee Relations. So somehow this will all work out before we do our omnibus budget bill. So anyway, Commissioner Anderson, it's a pleasure to see you here.
Thank you.
So, well, and I thought that they would go through, if there's any question about any of the overviews or any of the points, don't hesitate to interrupt. But otherwise, I think if we can let them get through what they're saying and then ask questions, we'll do that. Right, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Commissioner Pat Anderson, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to give you an overview of the functions and the budget of the Department of Employee Relations, and I'll also explain a little bit about the proposed merger, although we do expect Representative Kowalski to be here after the presentation to present the bill. The Department of Employee Relations is the state's human resource agency. It sets the state's human resource policy by protecting and upholding the merit system, which ensures that competent staff are hired and equitably compensated. A doer negotiates state employee labor contracts, it writes compensation plans, and approves the pay plans for the constitutional officers. With the exception of the MNSCU faculty contract, DUER is responsible for all state employee contracts in the executive branch. And it also provides insurance and workers' compensation benefits for employees in all three branches of state government and certain quasi-state agencies. In order to accomplish our agency's mission, the governor is recommending a general fund budget appropriation of $12.6 million, and this covers the Human Resource Management Program. Also, an open general fund appropriation of $1.3 million to pay for the legislatively required Workers' Compensation Reinsurance Association, or WICRA, as it's commonly called. In addition, it collects fees from state agencies and employees of approximately $1.44 billion. These dollars pay claims, premiums, and administrative costs for state employee insurance benefits. So that adds up to about $1.457 billion in total spending. So as you can see, only about 1% of DUER's budget actually comes from the general fund. The other 99% is composed of revenues and expenditures for the various state employee benefit programs that the department operates. DUER is a small agency, but it has a big budget, and it's responsible for many important activities. As I go through this presentation, I'll discuss a little bit about the legislation before you that abolishes DUER and merges its functions into other agencies. In brief, that plan calls for the Workers' Comp program to go to the Department of Administration. The Center for Healthcare Purchasing Improvement is slated for the Department of Health, and the remaining DUER functions are proposed to be merged into finance. Now, during the recent budget cuts, DUER was cut from just a little bit over 200 FTEs to about 143 FTEs today. DUER is a very lean department that's already eliminated any unnecessary functions. I want to tell you a little bit about what DUER has accomplished over the past biennium. The State Employees Group Insurance Health Plan, which we call Advantage, continues to perform well. This is a program that provides health insurance benefits for state employees in all three branches of state government. And we're very proud of how we've managed this program. In 2006, we had a 0% increase, and we actually returned $19.9 million in premium dollars through a premium holiday. In 2007, we had a 9.9% increase, which actually was about average. Some of you have inquired about the relation between the December 06 premium holiday and the January 2007 premium increase. And I think on the face of it, having a 9.9% increase right after a holiday may seem odd. However, there's good reason for this. First of all, the dollars that we returned were actually collected in 2005. So we believe those dollars were generated by a one-time dip in claims. And even though we held the 2006 premium increase to zero, the health care trends still increased, and it will continue to do so in 07 and 08. That being the case, if we had not increased the 07 premium, 2008 would likely require a very large increase due to the trend and also having to make up for $07. In other words, this increase helps ensure future increases would be smaller than they would have been. Now, we contracted with the Minute Clinic to open an office in the Centennial Office Building. The purpose of opening the clinic in the COB was to help employees learn to make wiser health care choices and also to save money. Every time a member seeks care at a convenience clinic, our plan saves $50. Not only do convenience clinics save the plan money, but they also save our members money. Copays are only $10, and all first dollar deductibles are waived when a member accesses a convenience care clinic. In 2006, we actually expanded the convenience care market for our members by adding Target, Now Care Express, and Health Systems to our network. Now, another new innovation this biennium is called AHA, except there are Advantage Health Advisors. It's a phone service staffed by nurses who help our members work through questions about treatment options, provider selection, and health benefits. It's important because it helps members make better informed choices, oftentimes at a time when they may be overwhelmed by a medical event. And we do call it AHA, if you're curious. We've also made two significant technology advances this biennium. Semaphore, it's the state's payroll, HR, and benefit information system, has migrated from a mainframe to a Windows Server platform. This change will retain compatibility with the vendor, allowing Semaphore to be better positioned to receive future upgrades and support, as well as reducing our operating costs. This change is now complete, and it went very smoothly. We also launched Onboarding, which is an electronic tool used to bring new employees into state service more efficiently. The system collects demographic and other HR-related information from new hires. It then forwards the new hire information to our staff who are part of new employee integration processes. This enables staff who provide office space or desktop computers, phones, or other such things to have the necessary information on a timely basis so that the new hire can feel welcome and be productive on their first day of employment. Finally, the data that was collected is automatically moved into the Semaphore system, which eliminates the input of redundant or duplicative data. So all parts of state government use Semaphore, by the way, except for you, the legislature, and you're welcome to join if you'd like. With that, I wanted to further explain how the department works. For budget purposes, the agency is divided into two areas, human resource and employee insurance. Human Resource Management, or HR, provides the executive branch for centralized personnel services. It also includes the Center for Healthcare Purchasing Improvement, and it provides DUERN's administrative functions, including administrative and fiscal services, and, of course, the commissioner's office. This program has 5 budget activities and 63.8 FTEs. All of these activities but the center are proposed to be merged with finance. The center is slated to go to health, where they've already been working closely with staff. This program is recommended to have a $12.59 million general fund appropriation and special revenue funds in the amount of $2.6 million. And both of DUERN's change items are in this program. We'll more fully explain these as we go along. But in brief, the first change item is a request for $1 million in increased funding for the Center for Healthcare Purchasing. The second change item is a compensation adjustment. This is $281 million in general fund dollars. That's the governor's recommendation for all agencies to help defray the costs of increased salaries and insurance benefit costs. Now I'll move on to the activities in this program. Because I'm going to explain where we're proposing to move each of the DUER functions, I'm going to jump around the actual budget pages and discuss these activities a little out of order. But the first is HR Technology and Analytics. This unit identifies, develops, and enhances technologies that help make the state's HR system more efficient and effective. These are the people that came up with the idea of onboarding, and they implemented it. It's a new innovation that can help state agencies save operating dollars and increase efficiency. This unit also manages and analyzes data, and that's the raw data that provides the information labor relations needs for bargaining and is used by state agencies to analyze their staffing needs. This activity is proposed to move to the Department of Finance because it works closely with the other parts of HR to help develop technology and maintain the raw data necessary to provide the overall human resource activities and guidance for other state agencies. This budget activity recommended general fund appropriation is $1.2 million for the biennium. The special revenue funds in that line are fees collected from state agencies, and they're used to operate ResumeX. That's the statewide system where all our agencies post all their open positions and the processes resumes for state job applicants. Now, Agency and Applicant Services is the unit that administers the ResumeX system. In addition, they set personnel policies and procedures regarding recruiting, selection, and classification. And finally, this unit is responsible for reviewing and monitoring agency affirmative action plans and ADA programs, and it provides equal opportunity reporting. This activity provides the remaining human resource activities that help ensure the merit system is upheld. The merit system ensures fair and open competition for state jobs and that employees are fairly compensated. Now, these activities are also proposed to be merged with finance. The core functions of the human resource system, which is classification, compensation, labor relations, and selection, are really tightly integrated, and they're brought together to provide integrated HR solutions. We believe it's imperative that they be kept together. This activity has 20.3 FTEs and a general fund appropriation of $3 million. Now, labor relations and compensation negotiates and administers 8 labor agreements and 2 pay plans. These same 11 staff members also provide training and arbitration services for state agencies. The unit develops compensation information used for negotiations and to ensure that state employees are being paid in accordance with law and labor agreements. This unit also administers a compliance process for Local Government Pay Equity Act, ensuring that all political subdivisions eliminate gender-based wage inequities. We're also responsible for reviewing and making decisions on local government requests to exceed the salary cap. Because of the changes, I think it was 2 years ago, we have less of those requests now, which is nice. Under the merger plan, they're proposed to join the Department of Finance, and the proposal will retain this unit.
At the same, you could go without interrupting.
Yeah.
I'll be the first one. That labor, the part where the labor relations and compensation activity, where is that going? Is that going to finance?
Yep.
Okay.
Would you like me to proceed?
Yep.
Okay. This proposal, what it does is it retains the unit's direct report to a commissioner, and it's going to continue to be headed by a deputy commissioner, labor relations. And that's a measure that the unions insisted upon. It was very important to them as we talked about how we were going to do this merger. They wanted to make sure that labor relations is directly reporting to a commissioner, and they will be. And I agree with them. That's very important. The labor relations, they receive a biennial general fund appropriation of $1.9 million. And additionally, they have about $615,000 in miscellaneous special revenue funds, which are mostly dollars paid to the unit by other agencies for investigative services. Labor relations carries the contract for personnel investigations, and so these are really just pass-through dollars. This also includes about $6,000 in labor relations and pay equity training costs. These are training programs put on by this unit for which other state and local entities pay a nominal fee to attend. The administration activity includes all the internal costs of operating the agency as well as 2 programs. The activity includes the agency's fiscal, human resource, information management, and the commissioner's office. Agency staff funded through this general fund appropriation also support the combined charities and the vacation donation programs. The merging of human resource data and management with current finance responsibilities will help ensure a more efficient use of state resources and accountability in all agencies. Now, the general fund appropriation for the administration activity is just over $5 million. The special revenue funds in this slide are primarily DOER dollars paid in from the other units within DOER to pay for their internal technical support. This includes desktop computers and software, phones, and so forth. About $30,000 of these dollars are associated with the State Employees Combined Charities Program. These are funds that state employees raise through fundraisers that pass through DOER and then they're given to the charities. About $13,000 are funds paid to DOER by other agencies to support a DOER-developed fiscal reporting system known as FIS. And that's a system that we're really proud of. It was developed by a DOER employee and it's maintained by DOER. FIS managers, they provide managers secure and easy to use fiscal reports that include a broad range of criteria. Then, like other systems, managers can run these reports without extensive training or know-how. The system is a database application and it retrieves financial and HR information from the information warehouse containing maps and semaphore data, and it also operates on the web. It was developed to provide our management with the fiscal information necessary to ensure that day-to-day operations are maintained within budget. And it works so well that we've begun to provide it to other agencies. There are four agencies now using the system, DOER, Finance, Health, and the Faribault Academies. And the unique thing about this is a fiscal tool, a finance tool, but it was created by DOER because we use the same system as finance. It shows you, again, the linkages there. Now, the next slide is the Center for Healthcare Purchasing Improvements. And this is a new program that was initiated by Senator Kaskaden and approved by the 2006 legislature. The center was enacted to support the state in its efforts to be a more prudent and efficient purchaser of quality health care services. In order to accomplish the mission, the center assists state agencies in developing and using common strategies for health care performance measurement and purchasing. Now, this coordinated purchasing approach is intended to promote greater transparency of health care costs and quality and greater accountability for health care results and improvements. The governor's budget recommends a $1.3 million budget for the biennium. Now, $1 million of this is a change item because, again, the center is only 6 months old or so. And it allows and enables the center to better achieve the results that it was meant to accomplish for the full biennium. Now, one of the most important projects the center is working on is the push to rapidly standardize and improve healthcare billing and coding. The results of this project will be to make healthcare transactions in both the public and the private sector more efficient and less costly, saving millions of dollars for all healthcare purchasers. The center recently staffed a joint public-private examination of a healthcare administrative simplification program at the Utah Health Information Network that serves as a model for Minnesota's efforts to standardize billing. Now, included in that event were private sector healthcare experts and practitioners, as well as staff from the governor's office, DOER, and legislators on the healthcare committees for both sides of the aisle. This is a very important project that is expected to result in significant savings in both the public and private sector.
I guess I'd like a little more explanation of that before we go beyond it. I'd like to know where the millions of dollars of savings come from and what.
In regards to the administrative...
Are we going to get progress reports? When is the report due, and are we going to get progress reports as we go on?
We have Dave here. This is Dave Hogan. He is the, I don't know what your title is, the director of the Center for Healthcare Purchasing.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
In response to your question,
say who you are.
I'm sorry.
As you start talking into the tape.
Dave Haugen, Director of the Center for Healthcare Purchasing Improvement at DOER.
Okay, Mr. Haugen.
And in response to your question about the administrative simplification and savings, what we're talking about here are some of the back office costs, as they're often called. We have a system in place which is about 85 to 90% electronic and standardized for submitting healthcare claims for payment, for enrolling and checking eligibility. But at the margin, that difference of 10% that's non-standard results in a lot of transaction costs. People have to get on the phone and call the health plans to find out why a certain billing wasn't accepted. There's a lot of communication back and forth, a lot of costs. The health plans and the hospital association have recently estimated that just the cost of those phone calls and those extra back office people, for example, are running millions of dollars a year. We took a group out to Utah to look at a situation where all of that has been standardized and streamlined, and we heard accounts of these back office staff being reduced by 75% in some cases. So that's essentially what we're looking at here in Minnesota.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. Thank you. I would also note that the center has been working with DOER and DHS, as well as initiatives with the Smart Buy Alliance, QCARE, and Healthy Connections to really increase the transparency of healthcare costs and quality, to improve outcomes and to obtain greater value for the money. The expectation is that the funding and the staff will be moved to the Department of Health. Now, the second overall program is the Employee Insurance Division. It provides employee insurance benefits for all three branches of state government and certain quasi-state agencies. They also administer a benefit program for local units of government known as PEEP, or the Public Employee Insurance Group. And it's a fairly large group at 82.5 FTEs. The program has four different activities that all deal with employee benefits. The open general fund appropriation is used to pay a legislative required premium to WICRA, or the Workers' Comp Reinsurance Association. The Minnesota's Workers' Compensation Insurance Association was created by the legislature in 79. Minnesota law requires all insurers and self-insured programs to purchase this reinsurance by becoming a member of this group. Now, there are three types of statutory appropriation. All are dollars paid to the program by member agencies and employees. The Miscellaneous Special Revenue Fund contains the operating costs for CGIP, which again is a state employee health care, PEEP, which is an optional local program, and workers' comp. Plus, it has about $40 million in workers' comp claim dollars. State employee insurance is dollars associated with the cost for CGIP and PEEP. The miscellaneous agency fund is actually employee dollars paid in for the pre-tax accounts, which include medical, dental, child care, and transportation. Now, the first of these four activities is the Employee Insurance Administration. And again, you might better recognize this by its known name, which is CGIP, or the State Employees Group Insurance Program. CGIP covers 115,000 lives, including state employees and retirees and their eligible dependents. It provides benefits for all three branches of state government, as well as the quasi-state agencies, and that includes MNSCU, the legislature, and the historical society. CGIP benefits are health, dental, life, short and long-term disability, and long-term care. And again, we also manage the pre-tax accounts discussed in the previous section. Now, we're proposing to send this activity to finance for a variety of reasons. First, CGIP employee data is held in finance's computer system. The system is called Semaphore, and it's the state's payroll, HR, and benefit information system. Because the data in Semaphore is populated and used by both of the agencies, DOER and finance staff jointly operate and maintain the system. Staff from both agencies already work together to ensure our state employees are accredited the correct set of benefits and corresponding payroll deductions. In addition, CGIP works closely with labor relations. CGIP staff is an integral part of bargaining through its efforts to identify insurance features and costs. Labor relations is slated for finance, and we believe it's important to keep these two functions together. Now, the next slide shows the administrative costs of CGIP. The miscellaneous special revenue dollars are the administrative costs for the pre-tax programs and the long-term care benefit. The administration of the pre-tax accounts is funded by a fee which is based on the FICA savings that agencies realize through employee participation in the program. That fee is $6.60 per member per month, and it was last changed in January of 1999 when it was actually reduced by $3.37 a month. The long-term care program is fully self-funded. About $100,000 in premiums are transferred annually to DUER by the vendor to support our administrative costs. The state employee insurance dollars are the administrative costs for the remaining benefits, health, dental, life, short and long-term disability. These are dollars paid in by employers. They pay $8.02 per member per month for all the benefits, excluding long-term care and the pre-tax accounts. And this fee has not been increased either since 1999. CGIP's total administrative costs, including those paid to the plan for their administration, is 7.5% of the total premium costs. This compares to the industry average, which is between 10 and 15%. So we're very proud of how we've held the administrative costs down and how we manage our employee benefits. Now, PEEP, which is the second activity, provides optional health, dental, and life benefits for local units of government. It's a self-insured program that primarily tailors benefits to the needs of each member group. This year, we began to offer what we call PEEP Advantage. It's a product that we modeled on CGIP's Advantage program. For either PEEP Advantage or a specially tailored plan, member groups pay premiums based on both their group rating and the entire pool rating. This activity is funded by fees paid by the members and operates with only 2.5 staff. Although on the slide the fund is named State Employees Insurance, it's actually local employees insurance dollars here. Now, much of the administration of the program is done by a vendor. And total administrative costs are just over $515,000 for both the PEEP staff and the vendor. Remaining dollars are claims and premiums paid. This program is very closely tied to CGIP. As you can see, they piggyback on CGIP expertise and programs, and so we believe it's most efficient to keep PEEP with CGIP. Now, workers' compensation is the third program. It's a fully self-insured, self-administered program serving 57,000 employees in all three branches of state government, including MNSCU. The program works to ensure that when an employee is injured, the associated claims are accurately paid, and it seeks to get the injured workers back to work. Over 80% of injured state employees return to work, compared to 69% return to work rate of injured employees who work for employers other than the state of Minnesota. We do a great job here at the state to get our staff back to work. But sometimes an injury means an employee can't go back and do the exact same type of work they've done before the injury. For example, we had a 27-year-old engineer recently who was injured in a bridge construction accident that left him paralyzed. And despite being statutorily, permanently, and totally disabled under our workers' comp laws, the employee was offered a job. He chose to return to work as an engineer in the same department. He's now 8 years post-injury, and he has a very successful career. The activity includes the state's Safety and Industrial Hygiene Unit, and it works with state agencies to reduce the risk of work-related injuries. We believe that this program is best fit with the Department of Administration. Admin currently has a risk management program which operates as the state's internal property insurance company, and Admin is responsible for the many state buildings. It fits well with the safety and hygiene activity, which seeks to ensure our employees' safety. In addition, the risk management unit has extensive insurance knowledge, including extensive claims management experience, which lends itself to operating an additional insurance program. So this merger will create a total enterprise-wide view on loss control, safety, property, and workers' compensation and reinsurance. In addition to these many management reasons for merging workers' comp with risk management, there's another reason for this choice. It was the choice of MAPE and of the workers' comp employees. The workers' compensation program has 34.2 FTEs and a biennial operating budget of $6.3 million. In addition, over $20 million is paid out annually in workers' compensation claims, as you'll see in the next activity. The dollars included here are from fees paid by member agencies and cover the administration of the program. Now, finally, we reach the last activity. This is the flow-through account for the insurance division's non-operating funds. These dollars cover the costs of the ongoing benefits and the dollars carry over from year to year. And it's certainly the largest portion of DUER's budget, and it's totally comprised of dedicated dollars. The $1.3 million in general fund dollars here are the open appropriation for the WICRA premium we previously discussed. The remaining dollars are all non-operating funds, which are pass-through dollars for CGIP and workers' comp. They're generated by premiums paid by agencies and employees and employee pre-tax dollars. Now, these dedicated accounts are able to retain investment income earned through the State Board of Investment, and those dollars are also expended for the purpose of the program. The miscellaneous special revenue line is all the workers' comp dollars used to pay claims and manage care costs. The state employee insurance dollars are the claims and administrative costs paid to the plans for CGIP-provided benefits. And the miscellaneous agency funds are the pre-tax dollars paid by state employees. These dollars are collected from employee paychecks held in this account and then transferred to the benefit manager who verifies and pays the employee claims. And again, those pre-tax accounts are medical, dental, dependent child care, parking, and bus cards. And as you know, they're all optional. Well, I believe that DUER provides very valuable services that ensure state government is staffed by competent and qualified employees. And they provide a set of employee benefits that are innovatively designed and well-managed and cost-effective. The purpose of this merger is not to reduce the number of state employees. Rather, the purpose is to better align and strengthen DUER's functions to enable the administration to effectively respond to the changing environments that the state faces. I believe that this proposed budget, as well as the merger, is the right thing to do to ensure that DUER can effectively and efficiently meet the needs of the agencies, and also to ensure that the state's workforce is well-positioned to meet the future needs of state government. The realignment of DUER's functions into the Department of Administration, Health, and Finance will create efficiencies and synergies in the area of human capital management, which will strengthen the state's ability to respond to the constantly changing environment of state government. I want to thank you for your time and your consideration, and welcome any additional questions you have.
Okay. We do have a quorum present, so Representative Ward needs adoption of the minutes of the last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, are there any questions of the commission?
Madam Chair, sorry for arriving late. I'm curious, are we going to present the bill?
Yes.
And then discuss it? Or so maybe I'll hold off on merger questions until I hear a presentation of the bill.
Sure. But if there are any questions on the budget as it's been presented, not with the bill, we could take those now. And if there aren't any, we'll move to the bill. If we need... I don't want to... Does anyone have anything they want to ask? Would you rather go to discussion of the bill, of this presentation of the bill?
Madam Chair, I have a couple questions, but I think share the same thing as Representative De La Forest says, is that it probably is better suited after the bill's been presented. It has to do with... if there's a budget and we possibly maybe consolidating or abolishing the Department of Employee Relations, where's the money going to go? So I don't know, Commissioner Anderson, thank you for coming. I don't know if you want to answer that now or just wait till after the bill.
Okay.
Should I answer that now?
Sure.
Thank you. As you know, the governor's budget did not have any notes about the merger, you know, when it was presented. All of the dollars that are, there's a couple reasons for that. One, the merger is going to occur sometime between, it's going to occur over time, sometime between this summer and June 1 of next year. And different functions will go at different times. Most of DUER's budget is very categorical. It's dollars that come in from other agencies, you know, used very specifically for those funds. Those dollars will follow the staff into the particular agency. All the end will end up in finance. And so it just depends. It was impossible to do a budget based on that because we don't know the exact date that people are going to move. So those dollars will simply be shifted to the particular agency. Now, the functions that are going to health, it is very specific at the line item in the budget. Those dollars exactly will move to health when the staff moves. Same with workers' comp. Most of workers' comp is actually premiums paid in. But the part that's not, that will move exactly at that time. And the balance goes to finance.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Representative Plaskett is going to make this all very clear. Representative Singleton.
Well, Dean's coming up. I'll ask a quick question.
Sure. Yeah, no. Nine quick questions.
In regards to the insurance activities, the CDIP and PEEP, my memory's not real good, but I know like two or three years ago, we had a insurance activity management of the insurance for our state employees. It was had wonderful results. In fact, I think there was a 0% increase, allowed us to maybe negotiate a little easier or better with our state employees a few mm-hmm. years ago, or mm-hmm. in the contract of 2 years ago, because of the way that the insurance program was run. 0% increase in cost when other insurances were seeing double-digit increases.
Right.
The recent, what has happened recently, what's happened in the last year in regards to the cost of the insurance program that we run for our state employees?
Thank you. Madam Chair, the numbers for 07 are 9.9%. We're predicting at least that high in 08 and 09. So
for both years then?
Yeah, so in the new round of bargaining, the costs are predicted to be in the double digits.
Right. Make negotiations of the next contract a little more difficult.
That's correct.
We don't have the non-cost of the health insurance that may be part of negotiation.
That's correct. And the governor's salary supplement, I think it's 2%, is part of that is to help with insurance dollars. I think the administration recognizes that there's going to be increased insurance costs in the future. Insurance is driving, and health care costs, as you know, is driving a significant chunk of the state budget, whether it's for our own employees or at DHS or health. It's a huge issue. Facing the legislature.
And then chair of local governments as well.
That's right.
But, mm-hmm. I was aware that 3 years ago or 2 years ago we had this
96.
Wonderful result. Was it
2006, yes.
That helped us tremendously.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay. Representative Plaskett, you're still... I'm not sure what happens to this bill. Are we supposed to move it to the floor, or what?
Well, Madam Chair, I was hoping you would tell me, but if you wish, it could proceed independently to the floor. I assume there is a omnibus bill in this committee that you may want to hold it over for possible inclusion, but either way would be.
Well, you know, one of the things that I always like to... What? Oh, it has to go to finance, so that... One of the things that I do always want to point out to members of Finance Division is just because you pass a bill on doesn't mean that it can't be included in the omnibus.
Madam Chair, yes, thank you. Of course, the preference is always to have the bill proceed independently. And hopefully from Finance to the floor, and the Governor has indicated his overwhelming support, and your support is also appreciated. I don't believe there's anything in the bill that you haven't heard, with the possible exception of the fiscal note, which was not ready when it was heard in government operations and which is in your packet. The fiscal note is relatively small. It reflects the elimination of the Office of Commissioner and probably some related functions. Apparently just the commissioner. However, if you do look at the, I think it's page 3, there
no,
is...
Representative Plaskett,
yes.
I heard the bill because I'm on, as did the people who are on the Government Operations Committee. But I'll move that the bill be passed and sent. I guess we don't re-refer it. I think we just send it on to the Finance Committee. After what? We re-refer it to the Finance Committee. It's a little hard to know until we have rules exactly what we're supposed to be doing. I thought we'd have them when we get with this bill. But at any rate, why don't you just give a little spiel about
all right, Madam Chair, what I'm going to do, because I also was here for the Commissioner's presentation, I'm going to let her walkthrough quickly, but before she does that, I want to say that a month ago, we met with the commissioner and her staff, and it was anticipated that this bill would take the better part of a year to get before the legislature. She and her staff did it in less than 4 weeks. So, again, I want to commend the commissioner for her work and for getting this bill to us in such an expedient manner. And I'm just going to let her walk through. She more or less did it when she did her presentation,
okay.
But one quick walk through by the commissioner, I think, and then any other questions we'll respond.
Okay. Now, if we move Commissioner Henderson to every other department, and we would then cut down all of state government from a year to 4 weeks for the whole rest, and we could all go home? Is that right?
Fine.
Well, Madam Chair, if we're looking for real savings, if she were Chancellor of Minsky, I think we could have made some real progress. Just a personal point of view.
Morgan Fleming of MMA is over here, and he's been offering to represent me in the future. So.
Okay.
Okay,
Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You know, we know what you said, and you know what you said. So, any points that you want to make with respect to this bill? As we were going through, you did say where each thing was going. So, just briefly, anything you want to say with respect.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be very brief then. I went through where the functions are going to go. I just want to state that when we started this process, we did think it would take quite a bit longer, and we were able to come together as a group. We met, my staff and myself met with many of you as legislators, we met with the unions, we met with the other departments, and we're able to, and our own employees who had a rough winter, and we were able to really put this together, and I think we should all be very proud of the product because everyone's on board. We have the support of, we have the public open support of MMA and MAPE. AFSCME has said that they don't oppose. It's as far as they'd give me, which is a good thing. And we have the support of the governor's office, the legislature on both sides, and the other commissioners. And so we're able to come together, and that's it's a really good piece of government reform legislation that we're doing, and I'm proud of it. And I want to thank those of you, that have signed on and are helping shepherd this through. So.
Madam Chair, Commissioner, in one sentence, then why the bill?
Why
the bill? In one sentence, between one or two sentences.
I can't do it in one, but I'll do it in two. Well, one, the main reason is efficiency. This aligns the functions that, frankly, already work together. We work together with finance. In fact, we have finance employees on our floor that we supervise, and they have some of our employees on the floor. We've been talking about doing this sort of thing ever since the core report, and as you know, in 91, talking about merging these either admin with this or this sort of thing. But it's really for a variety of reasons. One, it's a reporting relationship to the governor. The governor, as you know, has 25 people that directly report. We work very closely with finance currently, there's 140 employees. 100 of them will end up with finance, which is also a very small agency. So in terms of size, these are not large agencies to begin with. But it allows us to really create efficiencies within the HR, payroll, et cetera, structure. And that's the biggest benefit we're going to gain out of this. And I think it's going to be significant.
Well, so, Madam Chair, Commissioner, two questions or comments from you earlier. In the name of the efficiency, and those allowing us state government to become more efficient, why Section 2?
Section 2, Madam Chair, is the exact same language that was in the deed merger. Okay. The why on Section 2 is because the unions insisted on this. There was no intention to eliminate positions in this merger. Right now there will be positions probably in attrition. Certainly the positions in the commissioner's office will be eliminated. Those are not classified currently. Doer has gone from over 200 employees to 140 over the last 4 years. And so a lot of the, I would call it the fat, has been eliminated already. And so there was no intention in this merger to cut state employees besides those in, frankly, the commissioner's office because it's already been cut. So it's not going to harm the merger, harm the intent whatsoever, and I think it provides workers with our employees with the a peace of mind, frankly. So,
Representative Sigmund, if I can interject in this, and I'm sure you know as well as I do that the governor did not have to submit a bill to do this at all. The governor has within his power the ability to do reorganization of departments. But I have to commend the governor beyond his choice of Commissioner Anderson to do this in deciding to take this route of putting this, instead of having it be something that went through the rumor mill and had people all upset about it, trying to do this as an open process through the legislature, trying to, as long as the worker protection section was, as the commissioner has said, something that was totally intended, the idea of putting it into law so that we don't have to have a big partisan upheaval over this and we don't have to have a lot of upset and uncertainty in state government. I think this is a model of how we should do these things. So I hope, as I hope in the future we'll have some Democratic governors coming along, I hope that they'll take this action of exercise of gubernatorial powers as an example. And I actually wish that somebody else in the country would use it as an example, too.
I'm sure I understand the process of political muscle very well and political interests and how interests tend to make decisions here for us. But efficiency to me means that maybe state government can provide the same products, same results, same programs, and maybe do it with either technology or less people or whatever. And, I know why Section 2 is there. You know why Section 2 is there.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying it maybe doesn't speak to efficiency.
Well, I'm just saying what Section 2 gives us is it gives us these wonderful set of co-authors. Like Kahn, Seifert, and Solberg. I'm sorry, I don't know Sigmund, the others. I don't should have who the others are. I don't know if Sigmund's on that. But I bet he could have been on it if
that's
he was
not
there.
The question, madam.
And I think the commissioner has answered it. Yes, we probably will see this as this goes on and as it happens. We are, if you listen to the demographer and you listen as to what's going to happen in state government, we're going to need efficiencies, and we're going to need to work with probably less members in state government. And so the idea that we can do this and we can let the efficiencies occur as the process goes on and not have to have an 8-hour debate on the floor about this bill, I think, helps us all.
Madam Chair, may I make one more comment? This provision is in effect for 2 years. This is a two-year provision for the current staff. It includes staff, but it's not positions. So if there's retirements, transfers, et cetera, it doesn't mean those positions have to be filled. So I think it's very reasonable, and in the spirit of compromise and peace, it works. So, thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, thank you. A question for the Commissioner. Obviously, as Representative Pawlowski noted, the fiscal note leaves a lot out there that's yet to be determined, but it's identified some savings of about your one position, and I guess your salary is public knowledge, Madam Commissioner. But a question: do you have any numbers or guesses as to what the long term savings are going to be? You frequently noted in your testimony efficiencies, synergies, etc. Do you have any numbers behind the expected efficiencies?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do not, but I can tell you that before I leave, I will have a report. I'll do a report to the legislature, which will give you an idea of exactly where we're at. I've been here for 6 weeks, and we've accomplished a lot in 6 weeks. We don't know what all the savings are going to be. We're going to try to make sure that there are some. We know we're going to need less office space. We know there's a lot of things out there. Certainly more than just my position, but we know for sure that I will not be here because my position is going to be eliminated through legislation. So I will do some sort of a report before I leave my position to just let you know where it's at from a budgeting standpoint. And I apologize, and I know it's an open-ended thing, but it's going to be a savings. The question is exactly how much. I don't know. So, thank you.
Madam Chair, I just had a follow-up. Perhaps not a question for the commissioner, maybe for staff. I'm curious, we have experience in this area. This is not the first department to be merged, and I'm wondering what empirical data we have, for example, with respect to the deed merger, and what did we save? Has anybody taken a look at that? Staff? Mr. Shepherd?
But that wasn't in this division.
It's true, Madam Chair. I'm curious. It's not that I doubt the savings that will be realized, and I don't have a quarrel with the bill. You know, we know the deal has been cut. I don't have a quarrel with it. But I'm curious, has anybody identified these savings? Do we know? What did we say?
Stationary, one printing.
Well, Madam Chair, maybe you can have our staff identify the savings, and then we can draw any savings into our division.
Well, look at that.
Thank you.
Good. I'll always appreciate suggestions.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions for the bill or the commissioner? Okay. Just scheduled twice as much. It's a good day to do things. Okay. So if there's no further discussion, then the motion's been made that the bill be recommended to pass and go to the Finance Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. You're on
your
way.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Okay. I think we have next meeting. Oh, just wanted to point out to committee members the answers to the questions from... We had questions in the air for administration, and those answers are in your packet. Okay. Great. All right. Meeting adjourned.